for WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A Goochland County Republican gets called out for tweeting what he said was a joke about shooting protesters. Local homes and businesses open up for the National Solar Tour this weekend, and it was Farm to School Week for city schools in Charlottesville. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, October 5th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
A Goochland County Republican has drawn criticism for a tweet suggesting he could gun down pro-marijuana protesters. A group of protesters stormed the Capitol Hill office of Maryland Republican Representative Andy Harris and assaulted him on Tuesday. Goochland County Supervisor Manuel Alvarez Jr. tweeted on Tuesday, quote, "With one reload, I can take 34 of them." Local Democratic Party Committee co-chair Tina Winkler told the Washington Post she asked Alvarez to tone down his rage tweets a few weeks ago, saying that kind of rhetoric was not welcome in Goochland. The 64-year-old Alvarez has since deleted the tweet. After decades of struggle, seven Virginia tribes have been formally recognized by the federal government. The Daily Press reports that members of the Pamunkey, Chickahominy, Chickahominy Eastern Division, Monacan, Nansemond, Rappahannock, and Upper Mattaponi tribes celebrated the official recognition this week on land once occupied by their ancestors. In 2015, the Pamunkey became the first in the state to receive federal recognition from the U.S. Bureau of Indian Affairs. The federal recognition of the six other tribes came through the signing of the Thomasina E. Jordan Indian Tribes of Virginia Federal Recognition Act, spearheaded by U.S. Representative Rob Whitman and signed into law in January. The tribes are now eligible for federal funding and services. Across the nation this weekend, some 700 homeowners and organizations, including some in the WMRA region, are sharing their love of solar energy. WMRA's Christopher Clymer Kurtz reports.
The National Solar Tour invites interested people to visit sites tapping into solar energy, said Aaron Such, the Virginia program director for one of the tour sponsors, Solar United Neighbors.
People in Virginia, once they go solar, they're really apt to want to share their experience, what they learned, give some firsthand advice about, you know, installations or what they've done.
The 70 participants in Virginia include about 20 sites with open house hours in and around the Shenandoah Valley. One is the Sustainable Living Center and Urban Farm, Vine and Fig, in Harrisonburg. Its co-director is Tom Benevento.
The sun is really such a beautiful gift. There's really no need to be digging down under the earth. The sun is around us, and it's free for the taking.
Many tour sites highlight solar panel technologies, but Vine and Fig's solar system is multifaceted.
We have solar electric panels, photovoltaics. We also have solar greenhouses. We have a system where we're catching sunlight on a stone wall and reflecting off a pond to create a microclimate that's warmer. And we also have fuel fences that capture solar energy and then store that in the lignin of the wood that we can use to heat our houses.
RSVPs are requested for the National Solar Tour. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Clymer Kurtz.
Well, it has felt like summertime for much of this first week of October, but you may see snowplows driving through your neighborhood. Virginia road crews are already thinking snow. In a tweet on Wednesday, VDOT announced that inspections of snow removal vehicles and equipment have already started. Local city crews are also gearing up for winter weather. Harrisonburg says its Public Works Department will spend Friday preparing equipment and driving trucks through a dry run of neighborhoods to simulate snow removal routes. Last winter, more than 2,500 crew members and contractors statewide responded to weather events with more than 12,000 pieces of snow removal equipment. It's been more than a year since needle exchange programs became legal for more than 50 localities in Virginia. The hope is to get people in the door for education, counseling, and testing. But according to a report released this week, the state has only approved two sites so far, one in Wise County and one in Richmond. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain has this update.
Although the Virginia Department of Health has approved two programs, only one is up and running. The Wise County Needle Exchange began this summer. In its first month of operation, a dozen people were served. Most were unemployed women who used, among other drugs, prescription opioids. The exchange also collected more needles than it distributed, says the VDH's Diana Jordan.
I think that there are longstanding problems with injection in the community and that people have needed the service for a long time.
Studies show needle exchanges help decrease drug use, but having drug paraphernalia is illegal in Virginia. And while the law protects staff, it doesn't protect participants. That's been a catch for law enforcement, who have to give their approval before a program can start.
Public health and public safety have to work together. They're two sides of the same coin.
Colin Dwyer has been trying to start a program in Roanoke, but hasn't been able to get approval from the local police chief. In a recent report, the Virginia Department of Health says similar barriers have faced other localities. That's one reason it's taken so long to get needle exchanges up and running. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Finally today, this week was Farm to School Week in all 9 city schools in Charlottesville. The aim was to promote local agriculture and produce in schools and to get children interested in eating healthy. On Thursday, Delegate David Toscano and Virginia's Secretary of Education, Atif Carney, visited Venable Elementary School, and WMRA's Marguerite Gallerini has this report.
A variety of food and garden educational activities took place throughout the week, and a special menu each day featured foods provided by local farmers. Yesterday, kids at Venable Elementary School shared their special meal with Virginia Secretary of Education Atif Carney.
And it was great to have lunch with the students. I had lunch with the second graders, talked about, you know, school nutrition, and it was great to see the variety of lunches that students are having.
He says talking to kids about nutrition and gardening is more than just about food.
We really should try to scale this at a state level and try to integrate this in our instruction. There's an opportunity through all a variety of content areas where we can take farm to school opportunities and talk about preservation and conservation of our surroundings, environmental education, school nutrition. It can be done in science classes, it could be done in English classes where you could write about it and reflect on your experiences. If you're talking about gardens and building gardens, there's a lot of mathematics. I've been a mathematics teacher, so I can see how students can engage in helping build gardens. There's a lot of geometry aspects involved. I can see that there's a lot of connections that we can make with our curriculum.
After enjoying their meal, students went outside to learn more about goat cheese and how it is made by meeting real-life goats.
What are some of the first things that you notice about maybe how the goats look? Yes.
It kind of looks like one of the goats has a beard because all the hair is sticking down.
Yeah, so they're really furry, right?
Delegate David Toscano also paid the kids a quick visit.
Well, this is exciting because there's so many wonderful things happening in local schools to make sure the food that the kids eat is nutritious and it's locally sourced. From what I can see, the kids love the food and they don't always realize what's nutritious and what's not. And part of what's happening here is helping recognize the good things that you can eat that actually taste good. That's a wonderful change from when I went to school, where we got things out of a can and there were a lot of things that weren't the best that we ate at the time. So if you have good nutrition, it helps you learn better.
Several studies over recent years have shown that better nutrition of school children leads to better performance in class. A recent paper from UC Berkeley showed that students at schools that partner with healthier school lunch vendors perform better on state tests. And not only that, this option is also more cost-effective compared to other policy interventions, like, for instance, class size reduction. Trista Grigsby is the farm-to-school specialist for the Virginia Department of Education, and she was there at Venable Elementary to enjoy the fruit of her labor as well.
This is really exciting.
She says that over the past 4 to 5 years, local food procurement in schools has doubled from less than $8 million back then to more than $15 million now coming into schools each year.
It makes a huge difference in your local economies, especially for rural farmers.
And anytime you're transporting locally, you're saving money on transportation, and hopefully you can get good nutrition out of it as well.
For WMRA News, I'm Marguerite Gallerini.
For WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. That's today's podcast. Thanks for listening. And enjoy your Friday.